If you've been at a child's baptism in the Catholic rite, we do this after the baptism. And the priest or the deacon makes the sign of the cross over the baby's ears and mouth and says a prayer something like, as Jesus made the deaf hear and the mute speak, so may your ears be open to his word and your mouth proclaim his truth. I also mentioned in that homily that prior to 1970, so if you were baptized before 1970, I won't ask you to raise your hands. But if you were baptized prior to 1970, it was a little more earthy. The priest actually replicated the gospel today. And so I actually was asked by a family to do an old baptism a few years ago in my last parish, and I had the strange sensation of doing this, in which I took my saliva and I put it in the ears of the baby and my saliva on the tongue of the baby. Now, you're probably glad we've moved away from that. I certainly am, because, in fact, one of the med students came up to me after Mass last night and said, do you know that the bite of a human carries much more potential for disease than the bite of animals? And I said, well, that makes what Mike Tyson did much worse. I thought of Mike Tyson immediately. So anyway, I'm glad we've moved to a more symbolic gesture of the Ephatha rite in our current baptism. But the point, of course, is the same, that it's drawing attention to the fact that with our ears, we can either listen to the needs of others or not, and with our ears, we can either listen to the word of God or not, and with our mouth, we can either speak the truth of things or we cannot. And it's important to recall, sort of as a context, last week's gospel, because Jesus, remember, says, the only thing that defiles a human person is that which comes from within, not that happens to them. And so Jesus often heals bodily in the Gospels to make a spiritual point. And so we could say that spiritual sins of speech and hearing are much worse than the physical sufferings of impaired speech or hearing. Now, that doesn't mean, of course, physical impediments of speech and hearing are not more debilitating and paralyzing and actually in actual everyday life. In fact, they are. But the point is that only with our mouth and our ears can we damage our soul, can we hurt our character by what we say and with what we listen to. And so it might be helpful to sort of draw out a few of the things that we can do with our mouth and our ears that are problematic. So we can do a lot of things, but I'll focus on a few. We might talk about active sins of speech. Lying, of course, comes to mind first. And I don't think we take lying seriously enough. Every time we lie, we tilt the universe toward falsehood. That sounds extreme, but it's actually true. Every time we lie, we incline the universe toward falsehood and away from the reality of truth. What's interesting is John's Gospel calls Jesus, right, the truth, but also logos, which is the Greek word for like truth or the reality of things, rationality. So in a certain sense, every time we lie or exaggerate the truth, we are tilting the universe away from Jesus Christ as the way, the truth, and the life. And every time we lie, we're also making it easier for us to lie the next time. So when I hear confessions of little kids, which I love to do, because they're so innocent, and they only can do like three things wrong. and so they always confess lying. And I say to them, I say the same thing to everyone, because it's fun. I say, if you lie a bunch of times, what might you become? Now, I purposely do this because I know they're going to usually get the answer wrong right away. So they'll say something like a monster or a bad guy or something like that. So then I give them a clue and I say, if you cheat a bunch of times, you might become a cheater, right? And so then I say, so if you lie a bunch of times, you might become, and a lot, half of them still don't make the connection, right? They say, a monster. No, let's try this again. we eventually get to liar, right, at some point in the confession. Of course, the point we're trying to draw out of them is that we habituate ourselves to certain actions in the future by what we choose in the present. And that every time we lie, we not only incline the universe toward falsehood, but we also make it more likely the next time that we're going to lie or exaggerate the truth. Gossip might be worth mentioning in a active sins of speech. Gossip is usually just a facade or insecurity. It's a facade for our own pride, in that gossiping about others allows us to push them down while we can elevate the reputation of ourselves. Boasting or bragging is just a facade for pride or arrogance. One thing we might mention here that's not a sin, we might call it an imperfection of speech, is talking too much. Scripture says that we're going to have to account before God for every careless word we utter. Now, for someone like me, that's a very scary thought, right? Especially in homilies. And so, speaking too much is so destructive because it doesn't allow other people to express the wisdom of their own hearts, right? And so, I know you've all been in groups in which a couple people come to dominate the conversation. And it's not that those couple people aren't saying good things. They might be. But it's that it's all the other things that are left unsaid by the rest of the group that could be incredible nuggets of wisdom that we never hear because a couple people will not restrain their tongue. And so we might think of talking too much. And for those of us who are temperamentally extroverted and who want to talk all the time, we have to watch out for that in our own speech. But of course, there are not only sins of commission with speech, active sins, there are passive sins. There are times we should speak up that we don't. When we're in a group and everyone is gossiping and ripping on someone else, and we don't have the courage to stop the cycle. Times when we don't have the courage to speak up to a friend who is clearly heading down the road to destruction. And we don't have the courage to say a gentle word of constructive criticism. The times that we don't speak out against social injustices because we're afraid of how we might be perceived. It's great to be in this church always and to see these tapestries because so many of these figures spoke out and paid a price for it. I think often at Mass of St. Catherine of Siena, a very timely saint for right now in the church. In the 14th century, she spoke out, in fact, going to the Pope himself, against the corruption and the excesses of the institutional church, and got actually the Pope to change his mind and to move the papacy from sort of the excesses of France back to Rome. Or think of Oscar Romero, who is going to be canonized in about a month from now in Rome, and how he spoke up against the social injustices of El Salvador. And he paid a price. He was martyred during the celebration of Mass. So sometimes our greatest sins of speech are not the things that we actually say, but the things that we don't say. We might move to our ears. And of course, the thing that governs the two, our ears and our lips, is, I think, that great nugget of wisdom from the Greek philosopher Epictetus. I'm sure you've all heard it. Epictetus said, you have two ears and one mouth for a reason. Right? You should listen twice as much as you speak. Right? What an incredible, just like our baby here. Babies are supposed to do that, though. And so we can also talk about sort of sins of hearing. And the one, of course, I think of is not actually listening to people. Not actively listening to people, right? How many times we just sort of tune out, even though we're shaking our head and sort of nodding that we're listening, we're not actually listening. And how often we don't do what God does. God, in James' second reading today, says that God shows no partiality. How often we show partiality in who we listen to. So the people we like to listen to, we listen. And the people we don't like to listen to, as soon as we see them walking towards us, we run the other direction. And so to show no partiality in how we listen to the needs of others. Finally, I might mention our struggle and our inability to pray, I think, comes a lot from our inability to listen. Because prayer is a conversation, and it can't be a one-sided soliloquy. It has to be us engaging God and God engaging us back and speaking to the depths of our hearts. And if we can never shut up, we can't hear God. And so an imperfection of listening also affects maybe our struggles with our prayer life. And so, friends, I think we are called, whether we were baptized before 1970 or after, we all receive the commissioning at our baptism to let our lips and our tongue be Christ's lips and tongue, to have our ears be Christ's ears. We need to renew that call and to realize that with our mouth, with our speech, and with our hearing, we can either build up the community of faith and the human family, or we can tear it down. We can also either use our speech and our ears to be open to the Word of God speaking to us, or to be closed off. So let's strive to make our lips, our speech, and our ears a place in which we can encounter truly the needs of God, the needs of others, and the Word of God, the one who is always speaking to us and calls us to speak His words into the world.